And you know my take. I think it should be Josh Allen starting week one for the Bills, but we'll continue that conversation right now and go around the league with Russell Baxter, writer for Fanside of the NFL Spin Zone, and you can follow him on Twitter at BaxFootballGuru. And Russell, I've been following you on Twitter for a long time. I don't believe I've ever had you on the show before, so it's a pleasure to talk with you for a few minutes this afternoon.
Well, thank you very nice, very much and so on. And, you know, despite that fault of yours, I'll agree to do the interview.
I appreciate it. And let's start with this. I know a few weeks ago you were in Canton for the Hall of Fame ceremony. I know it happened, and you know, you've been asked about T.O. a million times. But outside of that whole story, what did you think of the ceremony? What really stood out to you?
Well, I've been going pretty religiously, Jake, for like 30 years. My first year out there was 1989,
wow.
And that's when the ceremony was still on the steps. The Hall of Fame game was 2:30 in the afternoon on Saturday. It's now expanded over the years for a lot of different reasons and so on. You know, the speeches are always very, very memorable. You know, I go to the jacket dinner every year, which to me I find to be even more emotional sometimes than the enshrinement ceremony itself. And, you know, Terrell Owens was acknowledged. I understood the Hall of Fame's take on it. I certainly understood Terrell Owens' take on it and so on, to each his own. But him not being there did not deter from the ceremony at all. And I didn't think it would. Again, he made the decision. You know, the Hall of Fame didn't necessarily, I don't think, agree with it, but I guess they understood it, and they did their thing. Yeah, I think the thing that bothered me leading up to be honest with you, Jake, was this talk of the NFL this and the NFL did this and NFL. The NFL doesn't run the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's a completely separate entity. So the conspiracy theorists who thought this was, you know, NFL writers getting back at this and the NFL not acknowledging this, you know, you need to do a little homework. The Pro Football Hall of Fame has run on its own for a long time. It's supported by the NFL. Roger Goodell attends the ceremony on Friday night with the jackets. He helps give out the jackets with David Baker and so on. But, you know, Pro Football Hall of Fame does its own thing, and I thought they did a great job. There were 22,000 people there. At the ceremony, it's always very wonderful. It's a great time for the families. My only regret is that hopefully Terrell Owens doesn't regret not going.
We're talking with Russell Baxter, writer for Fansided. And, you know, now that we change gears and we actually look at some actual football, what's been going on in the preseason, what are some of the things that have really stood out to you? I know you never want to take too much away from preseason football, but if you had to pick out a few things that catch your eye, what are those things?
Well, you know, you talked about the quarterback battle, and I think it's always fascinating to me how the quarterback battles get settled now around the league. They get settled on Twitter, and they're done by a play-by-play play-by-play basis. Ooh, look at this. Oh, look at that. You know, I think that's kind of the dominating factor within, like, the first 2 weeks here and so on, because we've gotten to see the rookie quarterbacks. I know there was a lot of excitement about Saquon Barkley and his 39-yard run, but he didn't play last night and so on. You know, and less you're seeing not a lot from the veterans in these first two games. Sometimes you don't see anything from the veterans at all. And injuries, of course. I mean, we've already seen Darius Geis go down, a second-round pick. Isaiah Wynn is out for the season. The Patriots, first of their two first-round picks. Although, people, you know, ask Hunter Henry and Jason Verrett didn't even get to the preseason before they were lost for the season. So it's an unnecessary evil, preseason games and so on. But I'll take a lot more away, Jake, from the third week, which is usually the week where you see, if you see a semblance of a game plan, and you do get to see some people that you don't ordinarily see. You know, personally, not to editorialize too much, I wish they would just do away with four preseason games, give us 18 regular season games, and two preseason games.
I agree with you there, as we're talking with Russell Baxter, writer for Fanside. And then, you know, sticking with the conversation about quarterbacks and the rookie quarterbacks, AJ McCarron goes down last night. He suffers a hairline fracture of his collarbone. And the Bills are down to really two options, Nate Peterman, who we saw a little bit last year and a debut that I'm sure he wants to forget, and their rookie quarterback in Josh Allen. If you're Sean McDermott, who are you starting at quarterback week one?
Well, you know, I think it'll depend on how things progress. I'll tell you, watching Josh Allen, the potential is enormous there, and so on. I know when he made that kind of a wacky play and got the ball away, that a lot of people focused on that. But, you know, that first preseason game where, my goodness, he rolled out to the right and still managed to throw a pass downfield while he was falling back. You can understand why the Bills are certainly in love with him. You know, that Nathan Peterman performance, and again, he started another game after that as well. That would have to be a little disconcerting if I'm Sean McDermott and so on. He hasn't distinguished himself during the summer. I'm not saying Allen has. But, you know, the interesting thing about the Bills is they finally made the playoffs, Jake, last year for the first time since 1999. And they basically did a redo on the team once again. So they weren't obviously satisfied with what they accomplished, in quotes, a year ago. I agree with you. I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world to roll the dice and give Josh Allen his shot right from the get-go. And you almost kind of have almost a convenient excuse if, you know, with A.J. McCarron going down, and we don't know how long exactly he's going to be out, but a collarbone, as we saw without Aaron Rodgers last year, can be a time-consuming thing.
Absolutely, and you look at the Bills last year, 9-7, but if it wasn't for that, you know, crazy play at the end of the game, you know, with the Bengals and the Ravens, the Bills were going home. So it took a miraculous comeback by the Cincinnati Bengals to even get the Bills in the playoffs in the first place. As we're
I will also say this. The Baltimore Ravens didn't take care of their own business at home either.
Nope.
So, you know, this remember, that was the Bills team that was 5-2. They lost 3 in a row. They kind of regained themselves. They're a flawed football team. And, again, they got into the playoffs. But, again, they decided to make a major move by trading away Tyrod Taylor.
Yes.
I think I'm right on that now. Okay. And, you know, they brought in star Latulele to help their defense. They traded Marcell Dareus last year. You know, they went through two general managers in as many years. This is a franchise in flux. And it'll be interesting to see if they're any closer to challenging the New England Patriots in the AFC East. Conventional wisdom would say no, but, of course, conventional has really nothing to do with this league anymore.
We're talking with Russell Baxter. You can follow him on Twitter at BaxFootballGuru, writer for FanSided, the NFL Spin Zone. You know, looking at the other quarterback that's a rookie in that division, and that, of course, is Sam Darnold. A lot of hype surrounding him after his first game. You know, watching his second game, I didn't think he did anything that would make me think he still is not capable of being the week one starter for the Jets. But what's your take on that situation with the emergence of Teddy Bridgewater? How do you ultimately see the Jets quarterback situation unfolding?
Well, again, I don't think there's any rush in this instance to push Darnold in there unless you think he gives you a better than average chance to win football games. You know, it's funny, Teddy Bridgewater has looked really, really good this summer, and a lot of the scuttlebutt is, wow, he looks really great. Let's get rid of him. Let's trade him, okay? As if somebody's going to give you a second or a third round pick for Teddy Bridgewater, and I just don't see that happening. Teddy Bridgewater was an unrestricted free agent. Any team could have signed him. So if I'm, and in fact, I will say this: if I'm Teddy Bridgewater, I want to stay where I am right now because, you know, other than last year's cameo appearance at the end of the year, he basically didn't play football for 2 years. So I think the Jets have actually put themselves into kind of a nice position with having the three quarterbacks. You've got Josh McCown, who had, I thought, for the time he played last year, had a very unsung season. You've got Bridgewater kind of working his way back. And you have Sam Darnold, who can learn a lot from both of those guys.
What do you think the Jets ultimately do, though? Let's say no star quarterback around the league goes down, and they have Teddy Bridgewater on their team. Do you think they would just hold on to him, but the value's not there? I mean, you know, you just kind of just touched on it, but what is Teddy Bridgewater's value right now, do you think?
Well, I think it would depend on how desperate the team was, okay? I mean, let's think a couple of years ago. Did you imagine any team giving up a first-round pick for Sam Bradford?
Absolutely not.
No, neither did I, and yet it happened with Minnesota because I think they found themselves in a position where they thought that Teddy Bridgewater was going to be gone for a substantial period of time. So I think it would depend on the situation more than anything else. You know, and think of the irony of that. Some quarterback going down for the season with a severe injury and Teddy Bridgewater being the guy who comes in when he was the guy who went down 2 years ago, or 3 years, whatever it was, a couple of years ago, yeah, 2016, and Sam Bradford kind of came to the rescue, per se, as it turned out. Sam Bradford wound up getting hurt again, et cetera, et cetera. It just shows you what it shows you is this group of quarterbacks we have in the league who never seem to get hurt or, you know, when obviously Aaron Rodgers got hurt last year, but for the most part, Tom Brady stays up. Drew Brees stays up. Eli Manning only got knocked out of a game once and was by his head coach. Okay? Phillip Rivers hasn't missed a start since 2006. Big Ben's been pretty resilient. You know, those quarterbacks, when those guys kind of disappear over the next 5 or 10 years, and maybe Brady's playing when he's 51, who knows, there's going to be quite the changing of the guard. It shows you the resiliency of those guys and kind of a special time for that 5 or 6 quarterbacks that we almost take for granted.
We're talking with Russell Baxter, writer for FanSided of the NFL Spin Zone. You can follow him on Twitter at BaxFootballGuru. So we've covered the quarterback situation. I do want to get your thoughts on some other topics here before we let you go. Let's talk about the players that are not in camp that are holding out. The two biggest names, Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald. Who returns to their team first out of those two guys?
Yeah, well, yeah, what quite the chess match. And, you know, it's funny because the Raiders and the Rams are playing this afternoon in a preseason game, and the Raiders and the Rams, as you know, kick off the season against each other, the regular season. I think it would be perfect if, and I think they play on Monday night. So I'm going to predict that Khalil Mack signs a contract extension on Saturday, the night before the regular season starts, and Sunday morning Aaron Donald gets his.
Really? There you go. And, you know, it's so fascinating.
Why not, right?
Let's
be honest. It seems like they're kind of waiting on each other, even though technically they play different positions. But you've got one guy who was defensive player of the year last year. You got one guy who was defensive player of the year before. Both came in the same draft. Both are in identical situations in terms of tenure in the league. It's kind of an unusual situation. It kind of, in a totally different way, reminds me of what the Cowboys had to face a couple of years ago. And understand how I'm saying this. They had a guy who was the NFL rushing leader, and they had a guy who was the NFL leader in touchdown receptions. And, of course, we're talking about DeMarco Murray and Dez Bryant. They wound up making their decision. It all worked out eventually because they got Ezekiel Elliott, but didn't work out that year. Everything kind of came apart for them. So sometimes what you have these circumstances where you have two guys who find themselves in the same boat, be it with the same team or two different teams, but they're kind of waiting on each other to see what the next move is going to be.
Russell, before I let you go, in 30 seconds or less, does Odell Beckham Jr. get a new deal from the Giants before the regular season starts?
I don't think it'll be before the regular season necessarily, unless it's the week, you know, 7 days beforehand. Because what you do see, I will say this, you see a lot of things, trades and extensions happen after the final cutdowns, okay, because rosters are still in flux. So it's hard to get a grasp. I think they're going to get a deal done. I just don't know if it's going to be in late August / early September. But I would be stunned if he's not back with the New York Giants for the long haul.
He's Russell Baxter. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at BaxFootballGuru, or a great follower there, writer for FanSided and NFL Spin Zone. You're all over the place, Russell. It's great to finally get you on the show, and thanks again. I appreciate it.
I look forward to it. Call me back in 20 minutes. We'll do it again.
You got it. That's Russell Baxter. Once again, his Twitter handle is at BaxFootballGuru. We'll come back. We'll react to some of the things Russell just said, plus an update on what Giancarlo Stanton just did for the Yankees. You talk about hot. He is red hot right now. We'll break that down for you when we come back. It's the Jay Gasman Show here on SB Nation Radio.